In the movie Good Night and Good Luck, about how broadcast journalist Edward R. Murrow challenged Senator Joe McCarthy, the action is punctuated with performances by jazz singer Diane Reeves. She plays a singer who performs on a show broadcast from a studio in the CBS building where Murrow works. Reeves is a 3-time Grammy Award winner. Let's start with a song from the soundtrack of Good Night and Good Luck. Diane Reeves singing I've Got My Eyes on You by Cole Porter from the soundtrack of Good Night and Good Luck. The film was directed by George Clooney. I asked Diane Reeves what kind of direction Clooney gave her.
Really what he wanted the singing to be is like a character, part of the storytelling, which I thought was very interesting because at first I didn't know exactly what it was that he wanted because I didn't have a script, but when I got the script, I thought, oh, I see how this is working. And the beautiful thing was he really wanted me to be in the studio and able to sing live in the studio, and he thought that I could do that very well. And that was one of the reasons why he chose me to do it. And when we went in there and we started recording the music, I had the script, so I knew what was going on from song to song.
George Clooney's aunt was Rosemary Clooney, and he lived with her for a while and went on the road with her for a while, and I know he really loves her singing. Did he talk with you about her singing, and how familiar were you with it yourself?
Oh, I was very familiar with her. Yeah, he told us all kind of wonderful stories. It was like being in there with another musician. And actually, she was one of the reasons why he chose me, because he said that she really loved the way that I sang. And he said, he told me, he said, Rosemary always loved the way that you sing. And I didn't even realize that she was listening to me. So that was quite a compliment.
And were there any changes that he asked you to make in the way that you sing? Because this is supposed to be the 1950s, not the 2000s.
Yeah, but one of the things that I think he knew that I knew, I mean, I have all kinds of video of singers from that era, and of course, CDs now, but albums and stuff. And so I really understood what it was that he wanted. And basically, to sing these songs, in a lot of ways, had just been introduced. So by 2005, you know, you would improvise, but then you were singing the words and really paying close attention to respecting the melody. So that I understood. And we talked about that right before we did the film. about, you know, keeping it straight and, you know, really just telling the story of the lyrics.
One of the things you had to do for the movie Good Night and Good Luck is dress in period. Would you describe your hair and the clothes that you wear?
Well, I have locks, and anybody who knows anything about locks is like that it's not braids, it's the way your hair grows. So they were all the way down my back, so I allowed them to cut them a little bit, like about 6 inches, which was okay. And then they pinned them up under the, pinned them up so that they could put this really nice, I call, I think my character was a cross between Dinah Washington and Sarah and Ella, all of them, you know. So it was this really nice haircut and wonderful look. And then, of course, the clothes. You know, I had great aunts who were entertainers, and I watched them perform in the same clothes that I was wearing. Actually could have brought some of the things. Had I known exactly what they wanted me to wear, I actually have a lot of vintage clothing from that era. And it really, really adds to the character because it's easy to put those in, and it's like playing dress up and being of that time because I've always been in love with that time period of singing and performance. So that part was, for me, the most exciting.
Diane Reeves, how did you start singing?
Oh, I have lots of wonderful musicians in my family, and
well, you know, you mentioned earlier that your great aunts, did you say, were mm-hmm. performers? What did they do?
They both played the piano and sang, and they sang. One of them sang some of the most risque music. You know, now I understand that it was, but then I never got, you know, the dual meaning of the songs. But it was interesting because a lot of the places that they performed were along the lines where the porters and waiters were. So it was on the train line from, you know, from Chicago, St. Louis, Denver, Utah, all of that, Kansas City. They played in all of those different places. That's how they lived as performers. She played the piano and she sang. And then her younger sister, Catherine Howard or Miller, did the same. So growing up, my Aunt Catherine really kind of took me under her arm, and she would teach me all of these very, very funny songs that now, you know, when I go back and I listen to them, I have to crack up laughing because some of them I sang for a long time, and I'd be on stage, and then I'd understand what I was singing about, you know. So they were both really wonderful. And then I have an uncle who played with a symphony with San Francisco and the Denver Symphony for many, many years. Also a great jazz bassist. He's a bassist. And then a cousin, George Duke, who is a recording artist, producer, arranger, and actually produced a lot of my earlier albums.
I want to get back to your aunts again. You know, so you learned all these like bawdy double entendre kind of mm-hmm. songs. Mm-hmm. Would you sing a few bars of one of them that would be clean enough to sing on the radio, but would get the point?
Well, I love the one that really came to mind. I didn't know it was about. She used to sing, "I got the blues in my mailbox, 'cause I ain't got no mail. I got the blues in my mailbox, 'cause I ain't got no mail. I got the blues in my bread box, because my Roman meal done gone stale." And I never knew that the mailbox was the M-A-L-E box. I was thinking, oh, no mail, nobody's writing letters, forever. And then one day I was on stage and I went, oh, my God, I couldn't believe I was singing. I didn't know, you know. And she's just saying, I had a man that gave me gifts, treated this woman so good. Oh, I had a man that gave, no, oh, I said I had a man that gave me gifts, treated this woman so good. But one day I found out that sucker was giving gifts all over the neighborhood. Just all kind of things.
So when you were very young, did your parents cover your ears or anything, or did they figure
no,
she'll get
because
what she
we
gets.
Didn't know what we yeah. didn't know what they were talking about. Uh-huh. And they would laugh, and then of course it was okay. They taught me how to sing these, and my Aunt Kay would teach me how to shimmy shake, but they called a shimmy waddle when I would do it because they would just laugh because of the way I would do it. And, you know, I got to put on their brooches and earrings and pearls and all of that, all the stuff that they used to wear. And she'd have me up there singing these songs, and I would shake and do all the things in the places that she taught me. You know, but I never knew, you know, and adults would just go crazy. They would just laugh so hard. And but I didn't know what I was singing about until like 20 years later.
So did that childhood experience encourage you to perform yourself?
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't until junior high school that I really became serious, that I realized, ooh, this is a very powerful thing. And it was really, you know, then it was just, I just sang because everybody in the family would contribute something. Either they were a great storyteller or a musician or something. But when I got into junior high school, which is a very rough age, but even it was even rougher for us because we were the first kids in Denver, Colorado to be bused. And there was a great deal of anxiety, and, you know, everybody was just, nobody knew what to do at that time. Nobody, we weren't prepared to go into these schools, and they weren't really prepared to receive us. I had this great teacher who came out of Texas, and she found that the best way to heal the differences or the all the misunderstanding or the tension in the school would be through music and poetry. So she helped us as students write our own kind of school play or school musical. And we did poetry and, you know, Native Americans and African Americans. Everybody, you know, contributed something. And we sang all of this music. And I remember the first time I stood out on the stage, I sang this song called Joy, which was an Edwin Hawkins record, who at that time had put out Oh Happy Day. So I loved that whole album. And I sang the song Joy. And it was so powerful, you know, that I felt that it moved the audience, it moved me. And I remember walking off the stage thinking, I want to do this. This is exactly what I want to do. And that's when I started singing.
How does that song go?
It goes, behind every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. And after each and every rainstorm, there's a bright new star. When trouble grieves you and friends deceive you, oh, don't worry, it will pass over in the morning. And that was like the last song of the performance. And everybody was going through things at that time in the school. So that song was, you know, very appropriate for me, you know, going through all my angst and, you know, hormonal changes and also just dealing with the differences that we were dealing with. And that song was so powerful for us at that time, and I felt it. And here we were in junior high school, people were crying, and I thought, ooh, music is a powerful thing.
My guest is Diane Reeves. She sings in the movie Good Night and Good Luck. The songs from the film, as well as extra songs, are featured on the soundtrack. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is jazz singer Diane Reeves. She's a 3-time Grammy winner, and she sings in the film Good Night and Good Luck. You know, you've told us a little bit about, you know, how there's musical people in your family. Your great aunt sang, your uncle was a bass player, your cousin George Duke is, you know, is a pianist. And did you ever take your voice for granted and think, well, most people have, you know, musical ability? I mean, because of course most people don't have too much musical ability, but you might not have known that in your family.
No, I never took my voice for granted because it was also something that saved my life without even going into the details of it. See, I never realized that I always perceived my voice to not be the one that came out of my mouth, but the one that was in my heart. And I see that now, and that's how I've always felt. But it was a way to move through my life because I had something that was my own that that, you know, I was in charge of and that belonged to me. And it helped me to get through my life in a way that gave me strength and empowered me. So my voice for me was, and still to this day, is nothing that I take for granted.
When you say it saved your life, do you mean that literally?
Yes, absolutely.
I won't go into that, but it did. Oh, okay.
But it did. It saved, and at a very, very young age, I'll just put it this way. At a very young age, when, you know, there was just so much pressure, and you know, your parents always can look and say, well, it's not as bad as you think, but as a kid, you think it's pretty bad. And there were a lot of things that were happening in my life, I didn't want to be here. I wanted to commit suicide. And had I not discovered my voice in the way that I did, in the time that I did, and singing the songs that I was singing, then I don't think I would be here. So my voice really saved my life.
And how old were you?
I was about 12.
And you hadn't sung before?
I had sung, but I was singing the songs that my aunts gave to me to sing. But then once I got into junior high school, it was a whole new set of problems. And those songs never connected with my life. And it wasn't until junior high school that I found songs that connected, that actually, you know, addressed my life in a way that they, you know, made my heart feel better, or, you know, made my mind feel better, because I could think of the words and I was connected to the words, and here I was singing them, and it felt good to me. You know, it felt calming, and it helped me to, it was like a mantra, I guess, you know, because here I was singing this song, Joy, and it's saying, you know, don't worry, in the morning it's gonna be over, you know, and it gave me faith and strength. My voice, you know, now I realize it and I can articulate it, that my singing voice is one thing, but my heart voice is really the real thing.
How does what you've just been telling us guide how you choose songs now?
It's still the same thing. I try to find songs for myself that I really, really believe in, or that, you know, it just address my life in some way. It doesn't have to be an experience that I've gone through, although a lot of them are. But I try to find things that I really understand, I really want to talk about, and I really have something to say.
Well, Diane Reeves, thank you so much for talking with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Diane Reeves sings in the movie Good Night and Good Luck.